We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, it's the early week edition of College Sports Now, and in the business of college football, which is what we are here on CSN, business is booming. We got a lot to talk about.
Not for Scott Frost.
We got Roddy Jones.
That store is closed.
ACC Network, Michael Serber, El Serberino hanging out as well.
Paid him an extra $7.5 million to close up shop.
Can't even let me introduce everybody before we start getting into the rundown. Mike Golic Jr., is going to be joining us, speaking of things that haven't gone well in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Bro, I feel for Marcus Freeman.
We'll check in South Bend with Gojo when he joins us here in about 20 minutes or so. Roddy, a lot to get to, man. Obviously, you want to start with Scott Frost.
You said business was booming, and I just thought, yeah, I mean, for some of us, business is booming. For some of us, business is closed. Although, with the way college football is, he'll probably have another head coaching job before this season is over because we're firing coaches in week two.
Listen, if you paid me $15 million to go away,
I'll go wherever the hell you want.
That's correct. Scott Frost, his buyout was going to drop by half in 3 weeks. But the athletics director at Nebraska, Trev Alberts, was like, you know what? Why don't we just go ahead and do this now?
But here's the thing. Like, Clay Helton's fired in week three last year. Scott Frost is fired in week two this year. Like, what the hell are you doing going into a coach that's even in danger of being fired after three games? What are you doing? It's throwing money away. Like, fire him last year. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. If I'm going into a season thinking, yeah, I mean, this is certainly a situation where I could fire my coach after three games. Like, what kind of situation are you putting the coach in? I get that it hasn't gone well, but geez, like, and then here's what's going to happen, and we're going to lambast the players. You're going to have players that in middle of October. I don't know if it'll happen at Nebraska. You're going to have players in the middle of October start to say, yeah, I'm not playing the rest of this year. I'm going into the transfer portal so I don't get hurt. And we're going to be like, well, that guy's quitting on his team. They fired his coach 6 weeks ago, and it's the middle of October. Like, stupid, man.
Well, a lot of us were surprised. I don't know if surprise is the right word, but a lot of us certainly, you know, eyebrows raised at the notion of, you know, the chosen one, Scott Frost, coming back for his fifth season when he was 15 and 29 going into the start of the year.
I wasn't surprised at all. Corn has never been hotter than it is right now. They got to capitalize on that. They can have some bum dragging down the brand.
Well, is it true? Is the price of corn up nowadays?
Have you not seen corn on? I mean, first off, I love it, but secondly, like, it's huge right now. It's all the rage. Everyone loves corn.
But, I mean, yeah, because that one kid is like, I love corn.
That's what I'm saying, man. They couldn't they couldn't wait around anymore. That kid was like, you got to get Scott Frost out. He's killing me.
Scott Frost is
checking
gone.
The price of corn per bushel. Has corn actually gone up? Oh yeah, it is open. It's up year over year. Corn is. It's a big deal, man. These Nebraska fans, they got plenty of money in their pockets.
They do. Clearly, the fact that they were like, we don't even need to wait for this buyout to drop by $7.5 million in a couple weeks. We're going to do this now. For those that have been living under a rock, Nebraska.
Corn up big time. I mean, like almost $2 from last year this time.
Nebraska decided that they were going to let Scott Frost go based on a result that happened on Saturday night in Lincoln. If you didn't hear what that sounded like, roll the tape.
Wide right, wide left, or just block it.
Piper will snap it. Bushini will hold it. This would be a career-long 52-yarder for Bleak Road to send it to overtime. Eagles 45-42 lead, 1 second left in Lincoln. The snap, the spot, the kick. It's on its way. It is.
No good.
No good! No good! No good! It is well with Marshall and Lincoln. The Eagles have come to the sea of red and painted it true blue. Yes! 45-42, it's a final as they celebrate on the field.
I love corn.
Take a picture, write a headline, fill a glass, and hug whoever you can find. Georgia Southern's coming home with a Power 5 win.
That's Danny. That's Danny Reed and friends on the Georgia Southern Sports Network from Learfield. That's the first time I have heard that. I know it was making the rounds on Saturday night, but I was into the liquor cabinet. So that's the first time I've heard that. It's pretty good.
Yo, so could have heard it on College Football Blitz if you'd been listening along noon to midnight on the Varsity Network app.
Yes, Steven, you could have heard it on the Blitz. While I am neck deep in this corn research,
yes, go on.
Not the corn research that TikTok would suggest. The corn, like actual corn.
The banned corn.
No, not that one either. Although that may be the next rabbit hole. The average closing price of corn in 2020 was $3.63 per bushel. In 2022, the average closing price is $7.04. Like, these corn people are crushing it right now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Corn up big. Like, this kid, this I Love Corn kid, has absolutely buoyed the corn industry. It's incredible. No wonder they're paying an extra $7.5 million. They're rolling in corn and money. Money and corn.
Well, they are the first team that is officially looking for a new head coach. I'm sure there will be others. Cue the Auburn jokes, but it's on in Lincoln, and we got a new head coach. And pivoting towards the football part of this discussion, that's a pretty big weekend for the Sun Belt, right? I mean, of all the things that happened on Saturday, Georgia Southern winning in Lincoln was not the biggest Sun Belt win of the day, was it, Roddy?
No, it wasn't. And sure, yeah, great win for the Sun Belt. Well, sure, that's fantastic. I'm more interested in the whole Scott Frost thing. Like, why didn't Scott Frost work at Nebraska? Will anybody work at Nebraska? And is this the biggest bust in terms of coaching that we've ever seen? Like, the dude was awful at Nebraska. He was the chosen one. He won a national championship at UCF, and he contributed to a weekend that the Sun Belt will never forget. Like, the Sun Belt will hang banners of this weekend. They will.
Well, rightfully so. All right, so no, listen, you want to talk about Scott Frost. I want to talk about what happened on the field. The Scott Frost thing.
That is on the field.
He's not, I mean, the guy was 16 and 31. In 4+ seasons. That's atrocious. I mean, there's no other way to put it. This dude played quarterback for Nebraska back when playing quarterback at Nebraska was...
meant something.
The thing. Like, it, you know, I mean, he is... to say he was the guy, I mean, it's understating just how much of a home run hire this was when he came from then undefeated UCF. I mean, it was a can't-miss hire.
Can I tell a quick story?
Please.
So I'm on the field with Scott Frost. I had them a bunch this last 2 years at UCF, probably 5 times. I'm on the field with Scott Frost, and it's looking like Nebraska's going to come open. And by this time, we had a little bit of a rapport, and I was like, coach, like, if Nebraska comes open and they offer you that job, can you turn it down? And he gave a really long, thoughtful answer, basically talking about how hard that would be on his family, making his mom relive some of the stuff that he went through at Nebraska. He, like, him having to go back and relive his first year at Nebraska, which was hell, because he went out west. I think he went to UCLA. He went out west initially and then transfers back. He was a kid from Nebraska, was like the biggest recruit in like the history of the state, and then ends up winning a national championship. But they like it, basically his family was going to have to suffer through all this. So on a human level, I saw how tortured he was with how that decision was going to be. I saw, and he expressed just how hard it was to say no because of his relationship with Nebraska, because of his, a lot of it, he felt like he owed it to his assistants because they made life-changing money going from UCF to Nebraska. And so on a human level, I do feel for the fact that it went so poorly for him. So I just want to throw that in there before I start making fun of them again.
Yeah, I mean, look, all jokes aside, the dude just got paid $15 million to walk away from his alma mater with his tail between his legs. I mean
you can bring the jokes back in here. When you add $15 million, like, the jokes cannot be aside. You can bring that back in. Because if you said, hey, Roddy, do you want to go fail as the head coach? Do you want to be Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech and get paid $15 million to go away? I'd say, yeah, sounds like a pretty good deal. Let's do it.
Yeah, we know Tech ain't got that kind of money, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately,
that's probably why they haven't offered me the job, because right. that's the minimum that I would take.
Well, stick around for a couple months, buddy. You never know.
That's terrible. I sort of skipped over your Sun Belt comment. It was a good week for the Sun Belt. Sun Belt's a really good football conference, and in an age where the world is flatter than it was. Like, the world is not flat, people. Let's stop doing that. I think we are, but you never know when it popped back up. But in an age where the world is much flatter, from like a college football perspective, outside of the big boys, like, if you're not Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and to some extent still Clemson, and Texas A&M may be getting there, but they took that L. The world is much flatter because of the transfer portal. I mean, look at the places, look at the Sun Belt teams that won over the weekend and pulled over upsets. App State goes to Texas A&M and pulls an upset with a quarterback who started his career at Clemson,
yes,
transferred to Duke, and then ends up at App State. Like, that's something that wouldn't happen in a non-transfer portal world, where a guy is able to sort of bounce around to two Power 5 programs and end up at App State and help lead them to victory in College Station. And when you've played in front of 90,000 at Clemson, like, College Station, sure, it's a little more hostile, but, like, big stadiums are big stadiums. Marshall goes to Notre Dame with a quarterback who transferred from Texas Tech, who played at Oklahoma, played at Texas. He ain't afraid of Notre Dame. And by the way, last week I said Notre Dame, it's not a hostile environment. Like, it's sort of a wine and cheese crowd. It's a big stadium and it is historic, but, like, you get a quarterback who's been there at places and done that before. And then Georgia Southern, like, that's a Georgia Southern team. Where'd Kyle Van Treese? He was a transfer too, right? Like, where'd he start?
Well, I was going to say the Marshall running back, he's a Florida State transfer.
Yeah, and he was a five-star. It just didn't figure it out at Florida State. Was mostly hurt, but just didn't figure it out at Florida State. And so, like, you get Kyle Van Treese, who was a Buffalo transfer in his sixth year, who was the quarterback for Georgia Southern, going to Nebraska and winning there. Like, this is sort of where we are with the transfer portal. Like, we lambast it all the time, and is it good for the sport? Is it bad for the sport? I don't know. But if you want more parity in the sport, a redistribution of talent, which is the most important thing you can have in college football, is talent. Redistribution of talent is a good thing if you want parity in college football. And that's when you get these situations where teams don't play well and they get beat because you have quarterbacks that aren't peeing down their leg because it's the first time in a big stadium.
Of all of the wins over the weekend, Roddy, we haven't mentioned Alabama, 1-point win at Texas.
Which, by the way, does Alabama just delight in like murdering Texas quarterbacks? because the what ifs are going to come hot and heavy. Because honestly, like the way Quinn Ewers looked in that game, if Quinn Ewers stays in that game, Texas wins. Going away, man.
I'll tell you, an absolute ass kicking. Here's what I would like you to do, Roddy, because this is a live recording of a podcast. You're having microphone issues, so unplug your microphone, blow on the cable, and plug it back in, okay? You do that, and while you do, we'll talk about the notion openly that if Quinn Ewers had stayed in the game, that Texas wins that football game. Texas, I don't know if Texas wins that football game because Texas doesn't have Bryce Young. All right, Alabama does. And he did to Texas the same thing he did to Auburn in the Iron Bowl last year. If you've got that team 5.5 feet under, boy, you better sprinkle 6 more inches of dirt on them. Otherwise, you're going to get got. And man, Texas got got. Should they have won that game? Sure. But they didn't.
If only they could find 2 points. If only there was something that happened in the game that could have given them the 2 points they need to not lose by one, but win by one. If only. But they just didn't, did they?
No. No.
They just couldn't get it. Oh, I hate to see it. So sad.
Texas is in the AP top 25 today because they lost to Alabama by one. They were not ranked going into the game Saturday. They are ranked now. Meanwhile, Marshall and App State, two Sun Belt teams that picked up wins over top 10 programs on the road, neither one of them is ranked. Roddy, are you back with us? Let's listen to your microphone.
How do I sound now? Am I better?
Sound good.
Now?
Yeah, no, you sound good.
All right, switch mics. Well, so I'm trying this new thing where I don't have enough USB ports on my computer, right? So I had to buy a USB port, like, what do you call those things? An extender? Like the thing that you plug in and it gives you 4 other ports. I had the microphone plugged into that, and apparently that was not the thing to do. So then I had to unplug the microphone from that, plug it straight into my computer. But to do that, I had to unplug my mouse, the receiver from my mouse, and put that on the other thing. So I think we've got it figured out now.
Okay. Well, while you were fixing all that, I was trying to explain to the audience that whether Quinn Ewers is playing or not for the full 4 quarters of football against Alabama on Saturday, the problem for Texas was Bryce Young. It wasn't Quinn Ewers.
For Texas is that they stopped scoring.
Alabama went 3 and out 5 straight times. They went 2.5 quarters without doing anything.
Yeah.
And you still couldn't get it done, Texas.
But what was the offense doing during that time? Like
sputtering.
That's my point. I mean, Quinn Ewers looked sharp. Quinn Ewers looked like a guy that I won't say he looked like the guy we thought he was as the number one recruit ever in the history of ever. But I did think that he played well enough, especially early, to give them a really good shot at winning the game with some of the deep shots that they were taking. Like Hudson Card came in the game and I was like, makes sense why Quinn Ewers won the job. You know, like, I don't know. I'm not saying I was being facetious when I said that they would win the game. They would have won the game had Quinn Ewers not gotten hurt. But I do think they had a better shot and it did affect that team.
Yeah. Listen, that's a totally reasonable takeaway from the game. I pose this question to you, Roddy.
Okay.
Bama got the win.
Yep.
Does your perspective of either one of those programs change? Either Alabama not being as good as you thought they were or Texas being better than you thought they were because of that result?
Both. I also think there's a lot of last year in both of these teams. Texas could not win a close game late. Like, that is something that they struggled with last year. It's something they struggled with this year. And Alabama is a lot more like last year's team than we may have wanted to think they could be this year. This was like last year's Alabama team. I think it's easy to just think of the team that beat Georgia in the SEC championship game and almost beat Georgia in the national championship game. But this was also a team last year that barely beat LSU, that barely beat Auburn, that went down to the wire with Arkansas. Like, this was a team that didn't blow people out through last season. And I think this Alabama team has a little bit more of that in them than we think. Now, they had 15 penalties during the game. And early in the game, the first Texas touchdown drive was basically given to them by Will Anderson, who's the best player on the field, because he couldn't line up correctly at all. like they stop him on third down, and Will Anderson's offsides, and he was offsides earlier in there. So I get all of the penalties, and that certainly would have changed the complexion of the game. But I do think both Texas and Alabama, while Alabama's probably not as good as I thought they were, Texas is probably better than I thought they were. There's still a lot of last year in both of these teams.
Okay. Let's keep that rolling, okay? Mike Golic Jr. has entered the chat. He hosts the Gojo Show. He's part of College Football Saturday Nights. National broadcast. They were in Stillwater over the weekend. We'll get to that game in a little bit. Mike, you were sitting around the hotel room, or maybe you were out and about tailgating in Stillwater. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing that you locked in on Alabama-Texas. What'd you make of the affair in Austin on Saturday?
Man alive, I know a lot of the credit seems to be going to Gary Patterson, as people have zeroed in on his role as an analyst on that team as a huge difference, but whatever it is, Texas fans got to be ecstatic regardless of the result and their quarterback being hurt at just what an improvement's been made on that defense. Like, that stuck out to most to me. We expected this Alabama offensive line to maybe be a little bit better. The skill position players have definitely left something to be desired for the Tide right now outside of that running back room with Jahmyr Gibbs, but I really was just stunned by the year-to-year change in just basic competence and being in the right place when you were needed to, let alone physically being up to the task the way Texas's defense was in that game.
Yeah, I was not at all impressed with the pass catchers for Alabama. Not named Jahmyr Gibbs, but Jahmyr Gibbs is a running back. He's not a wide receiver. Bama doesn't have any pass catchers, at least really good elite ones like we're used to seeing, Mike.
Yeah, no, that part's been surprising too, because we've been used to this being kind of like a pond, right? You had NFL wide receiver after NFL wide receiver usually doubled up over the course of a season. So it's going to put more of the onus on Bryce Young, who, good Lord, is up to the task. But I think, Roddy, and I heard you guys talking about this before, it is due for a little bit of recalibration right now. And I know it's early in the season as we look at these top group of teams, but maybe Oregon ends up being so far from what we expected. And listen, I know all about a first-year head coach encountering some new challenges with a roster that we thought was maybe ahead of where it was in reality, but that Georgia team looks like it could be primed to go out there and defend its title. They've been the most competent-looking team of those top groups for the first 3 weeks. Ohio State probably lumped in there, but they are impressive. They have a clear identity in that tight end room as far as the weapons they're going to hurt you with on that team. And that's probably the biggest difference, right, is offensively when you start to look around. Alabama's got the horses on defense, as does Ohio State, as does Georgia. But offensively, Georgia and Ohio State seem to have much clearer answers as to who they're going to hurt you with on offense than Alabama, who outside of Gibbs is probably doing a little bit more looking for a consistent contributor.
Yeah. Mike, I want to talk about your game a little bit. I'm going to let Steven ask the tough question.
Coward. I respect no, it. I love
am,
you, Roddy.
I am. I'm punting on third down on this one. Talk to me about Oklahoma State. I mean, what did you think about what you saw? Obviously, this was they're in a conference that is wide open. And with Baylor losing, I think, maybe we feel a little bit differently. I feel more differently about BYU. I think BYU is probably better than we expected. Mm-hmm. But with Baylor going down and what you saw from Oklahoma State, what did you make of their game against Arizona State?
They got a shot against anybody. And we know with Arizona State, Herman the Sun Devil's got a lot that they're trying to juggle right now. The NCAA allegations and the coaching's leaving this offseason. You don't replace that many guys in the portal and five assistants on your staff and have everything to come together right away. And they were, I think, 128th in penalty yard differential last year and had double-digit penalties again Saturday night. So Arizona State did a lot to help Oklahoma State, but that being said, the formula is no different for them, right? With Spencer Sanders in this offense, they were number one in offensive drives in 2021. All of the rest of their efficiency stats are pretty average. That was the case this weekend, but they overwhelm you at certain points in the game just because they end up getting so many cracks at this. The thing that stuck out to me with them, running back room, Dominic Richardson really stepped up, had a massive game for them, up over 120 yards. They had been searching through the first couple of games for who was going to be the guy in that running back room. They've replaced their top rusher 2 years in a row, and so now they've got that. They've got a fast wide receiver group and an offensive line that I think is coming together as the year goes along. But, guys, this is still led by defense. And I thought Mason Cobb and Xavier Benson at linebacker, who were replacing two studs, Malcolm Rodriguez, who is the star of Hard Knocks, they came in and played really well. But you looked at that defensive line, and they were living in the Arizona State backfield all day. Trace Ford, Brock Martin, these guys that had come into this season as the overwhelming strength of that defense are in a similar position this year. And so they're going to give them a chance. I mean, they do look like they're going to be, it's going to be them in Oklahoma as far as who ends up coming out of the Big 12. I don't want to totally write Baylor off yet, but it does seem like that's the collision course that we're on, because Oklahoma State has figured out a consistent formula and they continue to play to it.
If Mike, Spencer Sanders doesn't, you know, become the turnover machine that we have seen in the past, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's all. You know.
Yeah, no, and listen, he's the same guy on that front. Like, Spencer Sanders has played too much football for the Tiger to really change his stripes, but very good college quarterback. Like, what he offers you, and they really, once this game kicked off for them, Arizona State turned the ball over on their own 40, and from that point on, they just hit the switch and said, we're going to zone read you to death. Our quarterback is like a absolute viper in the backfield, the way that he can change direction quickly. And for the rest of the game, they made use of that in a way that I think is going to be pretty predictive going forward of what this offense leans on and allows him to play to his strengths there. Because, yeah, if you got to have Spencer Sanders unload this thing 30-plus times in a game, he's going to throw a couple of picks in there. That's just how what we've seen. That's what we know of the sample size, even if that's gotten better year to year.
Oklahoma State beat Arizona State. That was the College Football Saturday Night game of the week that was. Mike, you get to go to Seattle for Washington and Michigan.
Ooh,
State.
Let's go.
That, yeah, that's a good. We'll talk about that before we let you go. Let's take us to South Bend, though. Roddy doesn't want to ask the question, so I will. What's your read on what happened against Marshall? You mentioned the word recalibrate. I mean, where are we at with Notre Dame right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, we get a full recalibration now. Tyler Buchner, who had been their starting quarterback, lost for the season due to a shoulder injury that was suffered in that game. And so now they're going to turn to Drew Pine, who is the backup quarterback who came in relief. Notre Dame fans saw him plenty last year. He played in the Wisconsin game and a few others as that quarterback round robin kind of went on. So there's a couple of things here. One, I do get frustrated because the headline that we see is Marcus Freeman, the first Notre Dame head coach to begin his tenure 0-3 in the school's history, which I understand is accurate. One is in a bowl game at the end of last year, which feels different in a way that shouldn't be lumped in, but it is what it is. It's the stat. You look at the three losses. The Marshall loss is bad. There's no excuse for that. As good as we've seen the Sun Belt to be over the weekend, you can't be losing that game at home where you're at as Notre Dame as a program. 42 straight wins going into this game against unranked opponents makes that unacceptable. That being said, when we look at the three-game sample size, the loss was to an Oklahoma State team that right now is seventh in the country and was better at the end of the season last year. That was a better roster for Oklahoma State in that Fiesta Bowl that Notre Dame lost to in a game where they lost in the second half. Ohio State's going to probably be in the national championship game against Alabama or Georgia this season. That team is going to be damn good and is damn good. And you went on the road and kept that to a one-score game most of the entire game. And yeah, bad loss. Like, this is a loss reminiscent of the teams I was a part of at Notre Dame, who lost to Syracuse and UConn on senior day, Tulsa when Brian Kelly got there, USF the second season Brian Kelly was there. Those are things Notre Dame fans thought they had in the past. But when you've got a first-time 36-year-old head coach, a quarterback who was a first-time full-time starter going into the season in Tyler Buchner, and an offensive line that we saw last year had some issues that have not fully been reconciled yet, and that group's a work in progress and going to be a work in progress right now. I look at all of that and say, all right, you know what? Maybe this is a healthy time to reset expectations. This is probably going to end up being a season where we don't have those playoff expectations to worry about. Those fringe hopes are gone, and so I hope that this allows Marcus Freeman the room for what I always wanted, which was patience. I've been saying this all offseason. You made this move to go for the first-time head coach, young guy with recruiting medal, because you wanted to break through the ceiling that you thought you had created. And in the interim, you were going to have to sacrifice a little bit of that consistency that you've enjoyed over the last 6 or 7 seasons. And I've already seen Notre Dame fans who have become accustomed to all the consistent winning, as I have, freaking out and wanting to burn this all down. Like, guys, stop looking at this in totality. Look at a little bit of the context and understand that this has a chance to actually be a really positive benefit for this program to now get to do some of the real work without the eyes of the country constantly on them at the top of the polls and wondering if they're going to be back in the playoff the way that they have been consistently for a couple of times in the last five seasons. So I think this ends up being maybe a healthy reset for the time being and allows Marcus Freeman and company a chance to learn and grow in ways that will only benefit this program in upcoming seasons.
I think that's very well said. This it's still a really talented roster, Mike, but I look at the schedule and obviously, you know, I'm all over the ACC and Notre Dame gets like a million ACC teams every year and usually just destroys them like it's nothing. But at the end of September, you go to North Carolina. They've got Syracuse later on in whatever the hell they call that dome now, which is a game that looks, you know, with the way Syracuse is playing on defense stuff. BYU's on the schedule. Obviously, SC at the end of the year. And so while like a Navy and a Boston College aren't as good as expected, like what are the realistic expectations now? Should I be looking at this team as like a fringe bowl team going forward?
I think the expectation is you have to be a bowl team. I think that's one thing, especially for a head coach in his first year. We always talk about how important those extra practices are, but just to for everyone's sanity, they have to find a way to be a bowl team. And I think they can. Like the one thing about last year's roster is, again, early in the season, they had a lot of the same problems. Offensive line was having a difficult time putting things together. Wide receiver group was a little thin talent-wise in ways that you had to work on. Defense was having trouble giving up yards in the run game, and that got better as the season went along, and I think you've got the capability to do that again. Like North Carolina will be interesting because, man, North Carolina can't block anyone up front and can't stop anyone on defense either, so this will be a real Spider-Man pointing meme, but I worry about some of those. But again, this is also a challenge for the leadership of that team, because for Notre Dame, if you're anyone other than the true freshman on this roster, you haven't lost more than two games in a season since you've been on campus. This has been a double-digit win team for the last 5 years. They don't know any better, and so they got punched in the mouth in a very real way. And so for the guys on this team that are the upperclassmen, it's how do you respond now that you don't have the usual goals that you have? Can you keep this group together in ways I believe they have the leadership and the ability to, but that becomes the new challenge for them now. So yeah, you've got to be a bowl team this year. And then there's got to be that development across the board. We've got to see, all right, the offense we knew, banged up and thin at receiver coming into the season, and the offensive line had moved some parts around and is getting some guys back now. You got to go out there and develop some continuity. Marcus Freeman said, we like the five we have up front. Give them a chance to work together and let the best offensive line and coach in college football develop that group here. And for the defense, they have a standard on that side of the ball I think they can still very much live up to. It's just been the offense hasn't been consistent enough, and so eventually that defensive dam is going to break, even as good as I believe they still are, especially the back end improvement that we've seen from them. So I know it's a lot of word salad there, but they've got to make a bowl is the expectation for this season. I think that's the bare minimum right now.
No, that's good stuff, Mike. Let's zoom out a little bit. We're 2 weeks into the season, 3 weeks for some of the folks, but like, I'm not going to ask you about Scott Frost in Nebraska. We know what that situation is. I guess I'm more curious, like, who's overachieving for you the first two Saturdays of the season? Who's underachieving? Anybody better or worse than you thought they'd be?
Listen, Texas, I think, could certainly be in that category just with the way they performed against Alabama. I don't think a lot of us were expecting that kind of marquee performance this early in the Steve Sarkisian tender with Quinn Ewers out there, but they went out and delivered in a way that I'm not going to say they're back or anything, but it's definitely a group to be intrigued about going forward. I think Kentucky went back and kind of reminded people what they had been building around there. We had all gotten, myself included, really drunk on Florida and Anthony Richardson. I was there in the swamp for that week one game, and they came out and Kentucky completely took away Anthony Richardson as a run threat and reasserted themselves. Kentucky was just what we thought Florida was going to be this year, last season. They went and put that all on tape. Mark Stoops has built such a consistent winner there. That's why I got a chuckle when I saw his name as one of the ones potentially up for the Nebraska job. Why on earth would you leave the best gig in college football? I know he got ticked off that they were called a basketball school or whatever, but man, getting to be a successful football coach at a school that's only going to saw your head off if you're the basketball coach seems like a pretty great place in life. And then The other one is, listen, USC's hard to ignore. The skill group there is insane. And while I think as they get further and further into this, the Utah matchup fascinates me because I have questions about USC's offensive line, especially on the edges, there's no doubt they're going to use the full 53 in the third, and they terrify the hell out of you with the way that Caleb Williams has been able to spread the ball so far.
Mike, I want to ask a big picture question because you had three Sun Belt teams get some pretty significant skins this weekend, and it sort of led me to a larger rant about the world flattening because of the portal, because each one of those three teams had a transfer quarterback, two of them Power 5 transfer quarterbacks. So, I mean, what's your take on why we saw that? Was it just sort of a weird weekend in college football, or do you think this is part of a larger trend where some of these schools can get talent in and the talent is redistributed a little bit more often to make it so you can have more of these upsets?
I think that's definitely going to be a part of it, right? We saw there was a stat early in week one about how many transfer quarterbacks were starting in college football. And those were guys that were normally going to have to go and sit behind someone in a quarterback room and not see the light of day for a long time. And it was a pretty big bummer. And so now we do get that spread out. But I think the other thing, Roddy, is because you don't have the pressure of trying to win so quickly at a lot of these schools, yeah, you lose some coaches to jobs. But for the ones who stick around, and I look at App State in particular, you've got a chance to develop an identity. And the best thing you can have in college football, if you're not one of the upper crust teams, is a true, well-forged identity. Georgia State beat the absolute hell out of North Carolina on the defensive front against their offense. That's an identity that they've started to build around there. And so if you've got that as a team, and the Sun Belt, I think, has done a good job as any conference of having a bunch of teams with clear identities led by App and Louisiana for the last handful of years, I think that's always going to give you a chance, and then you sprinkle in quarterback upgrades that are now available, and you've got the makings for this, especially early in the season on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, A&M's just got to be better too. I'm sorry. But yes. Jimbo knows way more about offense than all of us, but man, Haynes King ain't it. Like, that offense is just, it's brutal right now.
I'd say Mike probably knows more about offense than Jimbo.
Oh, okay. Very good.
I went on my Jimbo Fisher rant last week, but so I won't rehash it here, Mike, but essentially, no. It's overrated.
Yeah, no, it's it seems to be that the most consistent force on earth is Texas A&M, no matter what, finding their way to 8 wins.
The water finds its level, man.
Mike, you get to go to Seattle this weekend. They've got a stadium that's on the water. It's very pretty. I've never been. Have you been to Husky Stadium? One, and then two, give us like kind of a sneak peek at UW and Michigan State on Saturday, Big Ten, Pac-12.
Yeah, well, and I mean, listen, both rocking in here 2-0. Coach DeBoer gets off to a 2-0 start, taking over this Washington program, coming over from Fresno State. And I'm excited to get a look under the hood on that one. I'd never been up to Washington. We played there my freshman year at Notre Dame. I was a redshirt, which meant I was out drinking and carrying on Friday night because I didn't travel for that game. And so excited to see the environment created. I think Coach DeBoer came over with a really good offensive reputation, and the last of kind of the out-of-conference matchups we're going to see in the first few weeks of the season here to sort of get a gauge of where these programs are at. For Mel Tucker, you got the bag this last offseason. You spent so much of last year focused on Kenneth Walker and what he could do for your offense. And now, as we go through in a Big Ten season where most people are looking at this as just an Ohio State and Michigan race, is there any chance for you to crash the party the way that you were able to last year? I'm not really sure. We know what Ohio State is. We know the Michigan schedule and how that lines up for them, as it seems like it's going to be J.J. McCarthy's Michigan team. But so far, if Michigan State goes out and is able to add this pelt to the wall, now all of a sudden we at least get a more interesting conversation as we rock through the rest of this season in the Big Ten East.
Yeah, Washington's fun again. It's been a while, but Michael Penix, he's slinging it. They're scoring. I mean, it's a very different Washington than we've seen the last couple of seasons. Gojo will be alongside Sloan Martin. That's college football Saturday night. It's on, obviously, Saturday night. 7 or 7:30 Eastern kick, one of those coming up on Saturday in Seattle. You can listen to it on the Varsity Network app, XM, and about 100-plus terrestrial radio stations. Mike, football's here, man. We got the NFL. You got the Gojo Show rocking on a daily basis. Plenty to talk about, man. Business is good. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Mike Golic Jr. We talk to him every... Well, we record the show on Monday. You hear it on Tuesdays, but that's our guy. We talk to him all year.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We did not talk about, Roddy, Kentucky's win over Florida, USC's win over Stanford. We also haven't talked about Tennessee's road win over Pitt, even though I told you that was going to happen like 4 weeks ago, and you and West Durham laughed at me.
No, we didn't laugh at you, but you were like, Tennessee's going to go in there and wax Pitt. Pitt played the entire second half with its backup quarterback. It played the last minute of the fourth quarter and overtime without its starting center. I'm not saying that Tennessee didn't deserve the victory, but if Pat Narduzzi makes a couple of different decisions, then Tennessee doesn't win that game. Pitt wins that game. So you can take your victory lap all you want, but you made it seem like it was going to be an absolute waxing, and it wasn't that.
You know what's amazing about college football, or just, you know, sports in general? Like, Roddy, your perspective of Pitt right now is 180 degrees from where I am.
Why?
That team played the team you think is the best. That team is a play away from being 0-2.
You are absolutely correct. And yet, somehow, they went toe-to-toe with the team that you think is the next coming in the SEC.
Nobody said that. Nobody said Tennessee is the next coming. We went back and ran the tape on our SEC talk.
You would be like, oh, Tennessee, second-best team in the SEC East. That was you.
And I still feel that way. It's not Tennessee's fault that they have to play Alabama and Georgia every single year. Okay, that's the schedule that you have.
That's fine, but I don't judge them based on how they perform against Alabama and Georgia. I judge them based on how they perform against Pitt. And you know what? That was a team that barely scraped by. Barely.
Tennessee was in a 10-0 hole. All I kept hearing about all offseason was Pat Narduzzi pounding ground. Izzy Abanaconda, the offensive line. Great lines of scrimmage.
He had like 140 something yards rushing.
Yeah.
So you can
half of that was on one run.
Izzy Abanaconda. It doesn't matter. They don't put asterisks by your rushing yardage because it came on one run.
Listen, all I'm saying, Roddy, is that you want to crown Pitt, okay? I'm sitting here telling you that they're a play away, a pick six that bounced off a West Virginia receiver's dude's hands from being 0-2, man.
And you know what? It doesn't matter.
I have zero sympathy for the Nard dog, okay?
That's rude.
Zero sympathy. Your offensive coordinator out of town. You want to do it your way? Fine. This is like Burger King. Have it your way. That offense is brutal, man. And I don't know what the status is on Keaton Slovis, but yeah, you can't ride with that backup all year.
What are you doing with that offense? Is brutal. They put up 415 yards.
That's Tennessee, man. Offense. Tennessee ain't hanging their hat on defense. That's not what they do down there.
It doesn't matter. Like, you can't all of a sudden excuse away a good offensive performance by saying, oh, that's Tennessee. And they did it with their backup quarterback in the second half. Like, what are you doing here with Pitt? What I'm doing is I'm going to watch them go
8-4 this year. That's what I'm going to do.
Are they a play away from being 0-2? Sure. But that offense was much better in week two than it was in week one because they got away from some of the dumb stuff that they were doing. I formation, heavy play action, seven-step drop. Let's see if our guys can get open. Were they consistent? No. But people were crowning Tennessee as if they were the third best team in the Southeastern Conference. And I still think there are people that are willing to defend that, especially after what we saw in College Station. But you can't then turn around and say, well, Pitt's terrible and Tennessee's fine. Like, if you got issues with Pitt coming out of that game, you got issues with Tennessee too.
Can I ask
because
you a question?
If Pat Narduzzi says, hey, let's just kneel the ball out at the end of the first half, they play with their starting quarterback throughout the second half, and they don't give up points at the end of the first half as well. They had 21 seconds and decided to throw the ball. Keaton Silva's fumbles. He gets slammed to the ground. He's out for the rest of the game. Am I making an excuse for them? No. But that's a dumb coaching decision that came back to bite him and quite honestly probably cost him the game.
Why do we think Jordan Addison transferred out of Pitt?
I think a few reasons. If I offered you millions of dollars to go do a job in Los Angeles when you were living in Pittsburgh, I think you would do the same thing.
You don't think it had anything to do with the fact that the Nard Dog was like, hey, man, we've been doing this really well one way. I want to do it my way.
I think that Kenny Pickett leaving had something to do with it, but I don't think that he analyzed the offensive scheme and was like, wow, let me see if Mark Whipple compares to Lincoln Riley, compares to Frank Cignetti Jr. Like, you had a chance to go play with Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley for millions more dollars in a place that it's never, never from a climate standpoint poor. Like, what? There's nothing football-wise that you can throw out that convinces me that Jordan Addison was like, yeah, I don't know about this Pitt team. I think we may take a step back. I need to find another location. Like, no, bro. It's Los Angeles. It's Lincoln Riley. It's USC. It's Caleb Williams. And it's money. That's why Jordan Addison left.
That's a good segue to talk USC and Stanford. I watched the game. I like what SC has, obviously, on offense, okay? It's clicking. That being said, there's a qualifier here. When you have to go against somebody with, one, athletes, and two, team speed, let's see how this plays out.
Agreed.
Okay? Stanford is Stanford. Stinks. It's the same Stanford that it's been for the last 15 years.
They stink.
A really good NFL pro-style quarterback. Team. And a bunch of skill guys who aren't that fast.
Nope.
No disrespect to the son of Emmett Smith. He's a nice tailback. He's fine. But, man, there's nobody on Stanford that scares you offensively. Not named Tanner McKee. I like Tanner McKee. He's going to play on Sundays. He's a good player.
He may not play on Sundays. He may be on the sideline on Sundays. But he'll participate in uniform on Sundays.
Okay. Well, regardless, SC got the win, 41-28. Did they leave the back door open? Yes. Could Stanford walk through it? No, they could not. But still, I'm not crowning SC just yet. They're a nice team. They still may not be the best team in that city, but I like what I see through 2 weeks.
They're not the only one. I think the start that you've seen is a good start from Lincoln Riley and his crew. I completely agree with your assessment on the questions that you have about them. We'll see what happens when they play more athletic teams. The thing is, like, I think I look at that matchup against Stanford, and it makes me feel better about a matchup against, like, maybe an Oregon State.
Be careful in Corvallis in 2 weeks.
I agree with that.
Be careful.
I agree with that. But like Utah, from what we saw, that one's going to be a fascinating matchup. But I think that the contrast in styles that's going to be played will sort of be laid bare. And honestly, it's the type of game that Caleb Williams can just sort of improvise his way to victory because of how talented that skill position group is. So I don't know, man. I'm not ready to crown USC either, but I do think it's exciting. I do see a path now for them. Like if that team ends up winning the Pac-12 and being in contention for the playoff, I could see that.
Yeah, listen, man, college football's better when SC is relevant nationally, and it's been a while. Yeah, it has.
Hey, why'd Lincoln Riley go to SC?
I mean, there's a bunch of reasons.
Yeah. Please name them, because they're the same reasons for Jordan Addison, other than Lincoln Riley.
I mean, for starters, he's afraid of competing in the SEC. I mean, who can blame him there?
I don't think that's the case.
It's not easy.
I don't think that's the case.
It just means more. Sure, I mean, for me, it's money, certainly, but also quality of life.
Okay. So you shouldn't have had to ask the question about Jordan Addison then.
Well, but that helped my narrative. So I wanted to make sure that I found a way to build that in somehow. Roddy, you were in Death Valley on Saturday afternoon for a game that nobody, you know, was talking about nationally because it's Clemson Furman and the Tigers are supposed to handle their business. I see a 35-12 scoreline. I'm not asking this question redundantly. Did Clemson handle their business Saturday?
Yeah, it was a short week. They played on Monday, and then they had to turn around and play on Saturday. So they sort of coasted through the second half in a way that was not ideal. But it was a low possession game no matter what. Clemson had the ball five times in the first half. They scored on four of them, and the one that they didn't score was Cade Klubnik's one drive where they went five plays and out. So I thought DJ Uiagalelei looked good. He looked good during
the game. Well, he has to, right? Because isn't Cade breathing down his neck?
No, I don't think so, man.
Whoa, okay.
So based on what they, based on what the coaches said and the way they sort of operated during that game, I don't think they're close to making that decision. Like when Trevor was breathing down Kelly Bryant's neck, they were giving Trevor like the third series of the game, and they were working him in consistently. And if he performed well, they got him in again. And they're just not doing that with Cade. Cade Klubnik has played three series during this season. He had the great series against Georgia Tech, the one against Furman. Like, they're up 35-12 midway through the third quarter, and he didn't see the field until the last drive of the game. So I don't think they're close at all. You would see Cade getting more reps if that were the case. Some of it may be the management of the quarterback position. Like, Cade Klubnik gets an ovation every time he comes onto the field when they're at home. So some of that may be sort of protecting DJ. But if you were really serious about Cade Klubnik being the starter in the next month, he'd be working in much more frequently than we've seen him.
Okay. All right. That's good stuff. While we're talking ACC teams, I need to step forward and I need to acknowledge something so I don't get called out on Twitter. I was wrong about UCF. Louisville went down to the bounce house and did something I didn't think they were capable of doing, which is winning a football game in that environment. So maybe Scott Satterfield shouldn't be looking for a realtor just yet. Okay, maybe reports of his demise were premature. Okay, so that's me giving a tip of the cap to Louisville. I'm also going to give a tip of the cap while we're talking ACC football to the Duke Blue Devils. I hope they've got the Mike Elko statue plans ready to go in Durham, because through 2 weeks, he has certainly earned it. They beat Northwestern on the road as a double-digit underdog. So you got to give props where props are due, man.
Are we going to make the Big Ten explain itself? Like, because if this is coming from someone who covers a league that is constantly under the beratement of, is your league good or not? Here were the results, the notable results over the weekend. Washington State went to Wisconsin, beat them 17-14.
Go Cougs.
Duke went to Northwestern, who had just beaten Nebraska, and beat them 31-23. You had Iowa State go to Kinnick, and God bless America, that was a brutal game. Me picking the under for that game, it was stealing, man. The over-under could have been 20.5, and I probably would have still taken the under in that game.
The scary part was it was 7-0 in the first 90 seconds of the game.
Yeah, it was scary. Yeah. Are we going to see? Oh, no, this is what that is. But anyway, Iowa State wins a snoozer. And then you had the Georgia Southern-Nebraska deal. Oh, and by the way, Idaho played with Indiana for stretches of that game. So, like, are we just going to let the Big Ten off the hook?
Are we not going to talk about Illinois taking UVA behind the woodshed? We're just going to gloss over that?
Well, you can include that in there. UVA is like a 3-win team this year. Have you seen that offensive line? They're brutal. So, but like, the thing that I think happens over the course of the year is we sort of look at the wins and losses and we excuse some away and we factor some in. But I never, like, when a bad team from your conference goes on the road to someplace else and loses, I'm not like, oh, well, look at that. Virginia's a bad team. Boston College is a bad team. Now, if Syracuse were to lose to Purdue this week and get blasted, yeah, I think Syracuse is a pretty good team.
Syracuse might be good.
I think no, Syracuse is good. So, like that one would be one where I'd be like, yeah, man, like that's a bad loss for the league. But Virginia going to Illinois and getting blasted, that was bad. By the way, Virginia had zero third down conversions of their own volition.
That
their
seems only, bad. Seems their bad.
Their only conversion on third down was a defensive holding call. The other Virginia thing of note, by the way, just if I can include one more. excuse me. Virginia. Oh, hold on. Where is it?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about. I thought you were going to talk about how you picked Boston College to cover the spread and they lost badly.
Yeah, that sucks. But Virginia had 14 drives. 10 of their drives were three. I'm sorry, this is Boston College. Sorry, I've got my notes all mixed up. Boston College as an ACC
had
14 drives. I don't get that. I don't understand what you're doing when you do that. I'm sorry, I don't. What is that? What is that a reference to?
It's a Big Lebowski reference, man. Just go watch the movie. Catch up.
I don't think, honestly, Serber, I mean, I am Team Lebowski, right? Like, I am a big, big Lebowski guy. I don't think that movie will do anything for Roddy Jones.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to dig it.
Okay.
I don't dig it. It's squarely out of my realm of movie enjoyment.
Well, that's just like your opinion, man.
I mean, yeah, sure. It's, yeah, maybe. Anyway,
phenomenal.
Boston College. It's like, look, there's a few movies out there where everybody, you have to watch this. It's so good. You have to watch it. And like the reason it's a cult classic is because most people don't like it. And so like the Big Lebowski cult classic, most people don't like that movie.
That's not accurate.
Then why is it considered a cult classic?
Because it did more in DVD sales than it did in theaters.
Yeah, home video is you. So we have this thing streaming now, Roddy. I know you're very young, but people used to buy movies, physical.
I think I remember that better than you do.
And they had them in these big like.
Did you ever own a VCR server?
Big plastic. My man, I was born in 1989. We're 1 year apart.
Actually,
big plastic boxes.
When's your birthday?
November 19th, 1989.
Oh, you are younger than me, just barely though.
Yeah, just a hair. I was the older kid in the class of 08. Can't wait to graduate.
I don't know what to say to the.
What were you talking about? Virginia had a bunch of three and outs.
No, it's not even worth going in there anymore. They did, but it was Boston College who I was talking about.
Where? Hang on a second. Let's keep it in the ACC. Where is Roddy on Saturday? Where are we headed?
Oh man, I'm not in the ACC on Saturday. Actually,
what?
Due to a few different transactions, and some dealings on the back end, because people have other involvement and engagements. Your boy is going to. I'm going to Michigan on Saturday for the Michigan UConn game.
You poor bastard.
Big game.
It is not a big game.
Yes, it is.
It's a big stadium.
You're on ABC, buddy.
That's true. Yep.
That's a big game.
I'm excited to do that.
Hang on. Who's doing play-by-play?
Bob Oshuzin. So I'm filling in for Orlovsky. Orlovsky's doing Monday Night Football. So I'm filling in for Orlovsky.
So listen, I know you're not a huge music guy. But I'm going to let you in on some inside information with Bob Oshuzin.
Okay.
Huge Fish fan.
Huge Fish. Okay. I'm going to write
huge.
That down.
That's a band. Huge. PHISH. Not what you order at the seafood market.
Fan. Okay. I was going to ask him if he wanted to go get seafood on Friday night.
Like big time.
Not okay. Fat like cool.
So should I show up with like a Fish record?
I can't help you. I can't.
Here's what you do. Walk into the booth with Bob and say, "Hey man, Fish sucks and I hate the Big Lebowski." See how your day goes.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say Big Lebowski probably overrated. Not as overrated as the Beatles, but like when you're the biggest band
Jesus
ever,
Christ, man.
You have to you there's only one way you can go and that's down. But I won't say that about Fish. I won't do that. I've never heard a Fish song in my life.
I've
never heard a Fish sing.
I'm not jeez.
His name's Trey.
UConn, Michigan, high noon with Roddy Jones in the booth. That's awesome, dude. Good for you, buddy. By the way, Wolverine's a 46-point favorite against the Huskies.
Yeah, big number. It's a big number.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big number. Before we get to Rostradamus, anything else from week two? People, listen, man. I should have led with this at the start of the show. People were banging on week two. They were like, week two, you're not week one. This is going to be an underwhelming Saturday of college football. And guess what? They were wrong. It was awesome.
Better than week one. Week one kind of, did week one deliver? I can't remember. It was a long time ago. I don't think week one delivered. Most of those games were blowouts.
Week two was loaded, man. It was awesome. Really fun.
Very tasty.
A lot of good times. Anything else you want to react to before we get to Rostradamus?
Let me see. I don't know what to do with Oklahoma yet. I'm looking forward to seeing Oklahoma going forward. Who they have this week? Probably a nobody.
They're at Nebraska, homie.
Oh, yeah, they sure are. God, they're going to wax Nebraska.
I'll be honest. I may or may not have been locked in for the first half of Kent State, Oklahoma, because the over-under was set at 40 points in the first half.
Wow.
What hit? Yeah, Vegas was off by a cool 30 points because it was 7-3.
They didn't even get to 40 points for the game. Jeez. So, I don't know what Kent State is, but I think Oklahoma, I don't know what to do with Oklahoma. You're right. I remember seeing that scoreline and being like a little surprised at what's going on there. Let's see.
Did you stay up for BYU Baylor?
I did not, man. I didn't. But that game got crazy.
Let me give you the Cliff Notes version.
How bad did that kid miss the final field goal? Good God.
He missed the one at the end of regulation. Then he missed one in overtime that could have won it.
And then BYU scored, right?
Yeah, and then at that point, there are no field goals. They're like, sit your ass down. Everything's a two-point conversion from here on out. You suck. If you were an NFL player, you would be cut.
No, they didn't get to the two-point conversions. He misses the one. It only went to two overtimes. So he missed the one.
That's what I'm saying. He missed the one at the end of regulation that would have won it. Then he missed one in overtime after they stopped Baylor that would have won it.
And then BYU scores, and Baylor got stopped. So
right.
He didn't have a chance to kick another one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but yes, correct. We're on the same page here.
We're paging it.
Here's the deal. Blake Shapen, new Baylor quarterback, I understand he's probably an upgrade from Gary Bohannon. They don't have any wide receivers, and that's going to be a problem in the Big 12. The lines of scrimmage for Baylor are really good. Like, they are physical. They are, like, Dave Aranda is in a good place there. But man, you got to score. Like, you got to, you know, there's that whole scoring part. You got to have it, and that's a concern for me if I'm Baylor. And I think you touched on this with Gojo, but like BYU,
BYU's a good team.
They got some grown ass men. Like, literally, they got 30-year-olds playing football for them. And also, that schedule might be conducive to something if they can keep this up.
Are you saying BYU's going to the college football playoff?
They got to go to Eugene on Saturday. That's not a given.
I know. Oh, you might see that pop up in Rostradamus.
Okay, very good.
Might not.
I watched BYU-Baylor to the conclusion. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
What time did it end, man?
Well, it kicked at 10:30. Yeah. I was having a rough time sleeping, man. I got it. I told you. I went home. I got into the red wine.
Usually that helps you sleep, right?
No, quite the opposite, actually. It gets me all riled up. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, how riled up? Like, riled up?
As riled up as you want to be, trust me. Yeah.
Okay. All the way up. Better watch out.
All the way up. Not a song?
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
That's the one. Yep, that's the one.
All the way up.
I also watched a little bit of Arizona-Mississippi State.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God. Sorry. Did you watch any of the 7 overtime game?
No.
Okay, neither did I. I feel like that's something that I'm going to hear about on Felder Friday, though.
Listen, our man Felder, he likes to bring the deep cuts to the table.
Yeah, 7 overtimes in Bowling Green. That's a deep cut. But seemed entertaining, highly entertaining. Why are people so upset about this two-point conversion deal? Like, people are like, oh, it's penalty kicks. Like, no, it's not. It's not penalty kicks. You have 11 players on the field in soccer, and you limit it to one-on-one. Like, you still have 11 players on the field for both teams. It's not my fault if you can't stop them from going 2.5 yards.
So you like it?
Yes. Get this thing over with, man.
Now, do you like it because you're an offensive guy, or like you just feel like it's balanced compared to punching it in from the three or stopping them defensively? Like, you think it's fair?
What do you mean fair? I think we're trying to figure out the best way to end the game, and this is the best way to end the game. Like, you want to put him in the middle of the field and hope that someone gets to the end zone? Get
no,
the hell
I,
out of here.
I,
put
I
him
had
on
no,
the three-yard line
I had
and
no
let's
problem
go.
With what we were doing before, which was, here's the ball, first and 10 at the 25. Let's go, man. Giddy up.
Yeah, that was fine. That was fine, too. Honestly, I would have moved it up. Like, hey, we're going to go from the 25 in the first overtime, the 20 in the second overtime, the 10 in the third overtime, or the 15, the 10, the 5, and then two-point conversion. And then you start going backwards after that.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah,
it's like suicide
and
like drills.
Plays, and like the plays get less. Like you get four plays. Like you have regular rules for the first two, and then when you're at the 15, it's basically like you have four plays. It's basically first and goal from the 15. Then it's first and goal from the 10. Then it's first and goal from the 5. And then it's like one play from the, or maybe you decrease in like, hey, it's second and goal. You know, let's have some fun with it.
Yeah, it's a
but
shame.
The defensive people be like, oh.
It's a shame that you're not the czar of college football, Roddy, because your rules are just rad. I mean, that's where it's at, buddy.
Well, it's better than a lot of other things.
Yeah,
I agree. Takes on the Big Lebowski included.
Wow, come on, man. Just listen, maybe before you go work with alongside Wischusen on Saturday, just give it a spin, man. Just it's funnier the third or fourth time around.
Yeah, I will.
That's all I'm saying.
Wait, is he a Lebowski fan too?
I can build you a
third or fourth time, bro. It's I don't have time to watch a movie nowadays.
I can build you a fish mixtape, bro. For like I can handle that.
Yeah. Why don't you
walk into that booth and you're like, sorry, Bob, I've been listening to Fall 97 tour like on the way over here. I'm just kind of spacey right now. I mean, that right there, bro. You are in for life.
If you
He'll throw Orlovsky out the window. He'll never do another game with Bob Wischusen, I promise you.
If you and Server could put together a fish playlist for me and prep of hanging out with Bob for a weekend, I would. That would be, you'd be doing God's work.
Well, Server knows nothing about fish, so don't.
I don't listen to fish. I thought you were, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
I see what you
but
did
you are
there.
Familiar.
Very good. Server, you are on fire today, bro. Hanging out with the full cast has made you so sharp. I mean, just not like you weren't sharp before, but you're just sharper. That's all.
I'm slinging rocks.
Yeah, you really are. I mean, he's dropped like 10 quotes on you, Roddy, in the last 15 minutes of real time, and all of it has gone over your head.
Dude, I got nothing.
You have no frame of reference here. You have no frame of reference here.
What was that one from?
That's another one. I mean, he's just dropping lines on you left and right.
This is about drawing a line in the sand.
Can I get some closed captions, please, on like what this is from and who said it?
We need the annotated version of the show. Like this episode may be in the director's cut later, after long from now, like many, many moons from now, when we're all doing the director's cut and we can do commentary on this. Let's just go to Roger.
I feel like you're wasting some of your best work today, Server, and I'm sorry for that, but I can only do so much. I'm but a man.
It's fine.
Pay that man his money.
Are you surprised at my tears, sir? Strong men also cry. Strong men also cry.
Everybody's so confused, man.
I'm going to Google this really quickly. Hold on.
While you Google that, I will let our listeners know that Rod Stradamus had a winning week. 4-2 against the spread for Rod Stradamus. Now, for the season, our man is 4 games above 500. He is in the black. He is profitable. He has made you money. 11-7 overall on the year. 11 wins, 7 losses. He's coming off of a 4-2 campaign. Roddy, last week you hit on Oregon State. Barely.
Barely.
You better send Jonathan Smith a Christmas card, okay?
Yeah.
Boston College.
The stones to go with it. I have a question about that. Like, so they're on the 3-yard line with what was it, 7 seconds left, and they decide to run a play and they end up scoring on the play. The hell was he going to do if they got stopped?
He was going to take the L.
And wasn't it a fourth down? Was it a fourth down play?
Listen, man, he's trying to build a program up there. Shoot or shoot, okay?
That was ballsy, man. It was ballsy.
Yeah, it was. It was like Tyreek Hill said about his coach. He's going to have a wheelbarrow to wheel around his cojones. Did you see that interview, by the way?
I did not. No.
Server,
hey, baby. Fins up, 1-0.
Yep.
Never in doubt.
We don't need to talk about Roddy and I's NFL team. Boy, we don't need to talk about
Roddy. 16 in the fourth quarter.
Dude, science is it's fascinating. It's amazing. Never lets you down.
I actually liked what I saw from Mariota, too. All right, don't say that.
Stop.
Listen,
friends, don't let friends root for the Falcons.
Roddy was right on Oregon State. You were very wrong on Boston College at Virginia Tech. You were very wrong about Northwestern taking care of their business against Duke. You nailed Iowa State, Iowa under. You were dead on with Kentucky plus the 5, and you were barely right with Syracuse, but you were right. So I have to give you props where props are due. So 4-2 on the week. As I mentioned, 11-7 on the season. Roddy, I've got the week 3 lines in front of me. So what are you thinking for this Saturday, my friend?
So I like having a little bit of skin in the game on Friday too, and when Thursday comes, we're going to make that a regular thing. The Thursday and Friday games are going to be included. So I had two games to choose from this Friday, okay? I had obviously the Florida State and Louisville game, but the other game I had to choose from is Air Force at Wyoming. Air Force at Wyoming was actually a little tasty because I like Air Force. But they're giving 17 points to Wyoming at home. So I couldn't quite pull the trigger there. So I went with Florida State -2 at Louisville as my first pick. Coming off a bye week, I like what I saw from them a couple weeks ago. Jared Verse, really good player for the Seminoles. So I like Florida State -2 at Louisville.
I mean, this is a game that you really don't need to bet. Like you said, you like having skin in the game.
Skin in the game on Friday.
So yeah. this is a coin flip game. There's so many other dishes on the table, Roddy, but you just can't stay away from
it. Not
this.
On Friday. It's a two-course meal. It's a two-course meal on Friday.
All right, FSU -2 at Louisville. Right. It's yours. So,
here are some other ones I got for you. Give me South Carolina +24 and a hook against Georgia on Saturday.
That's a high noon affair at Willie Bryce.
I think Georgia wins the game, and I think it's comfortable, but I think it's probably like a 3-touchdown game, maybe a 24-point game. I don't see, like, Georgia doesn't play the type of ball where they're going to just light up the scoreboard.
Hang on a sec. Are we sure about that, Roddy? Listen,
no, I don't. No, I'm not. I'm trying to convince myself.
I mean, I want to say that I agree with you, and I have questions about Georgia's offense, but every time do that...
I don't have questions about Georgia's offense, but I do think that this is an offense where if you can get something going offensively, like if South Carolina can just possess the ball some, like they don't have to do it great, but if they possess the ball some, then I think Georgia will probably put up 40 and South Carolina will put up 20-ish. Maybe, you know, they get a garbage time. I don't think Georgia's going to go out and score 49 like they did against Oregon.
Hang on
a
second.
Don't.
Hang on a sec. You actually, I just want to get this on the record. You think South Carolina is going to score 20 on this defense?
I don't think they will score I don't think South Carolina will score 20 on this defense during like time that matters. But I think South Carolina can put up 17 to 20 points with a garbage time touchdown. Yeah.
Really?
Sure. Garbage time touchdown.
Okay. All right. I ask because, you know, in the first, you know, two games of the season, Georgia has given up a combined 3 points.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And yet somehow South Carolina is going to scratch for 20. All right.
Okay. So let's contextualize that a little bit. First, they played an Oregon team that every time they play an SEC squad with any metal gets its ass kicked. So and they had a first-time head coach on the other side and all that stuff. That Oregon team wasn't ready for what they were going to get. Samford, stop it. The South Carolina plays Georgia every year, man. Like, they're not scared of Georgia. They got good players on that side. Spencer Rattler's been in big games before. I'm not saying South Carolina keeps it close. I just think they keep it closer than 24.5.
It was 40-13 last year.
With, which one of the 19 quarterbacks that South Carolina played that they pulled from Columbia Memorial Coliseum who were playing flag football, which one of those quarterbacks was playing during that game?
The year before that, it was 45-16. I just don't think that South Carolina is getting to 20, bro.
That's why Muschamp got fired.
All right. Okay. So, listen, I understand why you want South Carolina to
keep
it interesting
against
Georgia.
It's a big number.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll keep – I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
I don't think this game is close. I think it's closer than 24 and a hook.
All right. Shoot or shoot, buddy. I love it. Where else you want to go? That's a noon affair on Saturday. So you got skin in the game Friday night and then early action.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're going to be sweating bullets looking at the bottom line Michigan's up 60 on UConn. And you're like, hey, man, what's the Georgia score? I need it.
By Saturday, I forget what I told you, so I have no idea.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that, folks? Every Sunday afternoon when I go into the dock to update what Roddy and I are going to talk about and give this show some sort of structure, Roddy's already gotten in there, and he's already tallied up his wins and losses from Saturday. Rod Shradamus does that on Saturday night. Don't kid yourself.
Well, it's what I do when I'm traveling home. Like, I get done with my game, I pop up the thing, and usually when I'm watching the late game at night, I finish it out.
I'm just glad that we're on your mind, buddy. I like doing the show with you, and let's just keep it rolling. So what else you got? FSU, South Carolina. You got all day Saturday in front of you, man. All day.
Give me Old Dominion plus 10.5.
Oh, my God. Why? Why?
What do you mean?
You think
why?
Old Dirty's going to beat another team from the Commonwealth?
I didn't say that they would beat them. I do actually think they're going to win. But I think they keep it close than 10.5. Here's the thing, man. Old Dominion's front got after Virginia Tech. Virginia doesn't have linemen that are capable of posing any sort of threat. Like, there's a couple of quarterbacks in the ACC that I am I might convert to Catholicism so that I can go to the Vatican and become like a bishop or something, and I can like spray holy water on them because I'm praying for them so hard.
Pretty sure that's not how it works in Catholicism. Is that what happens? You just go and become a bishop so you can spray holy water on people?
In nomine Patri, et Spirit, et Filio Sancti. Look, man, I already got it down. I got that from Boondock Saints. How about take that, Cerber, for a deep cut?
How about that?
In vino veritas.
Yeah, what he said. I don't know what that means. Is that something about wine? Did you say something about wine?
That's in Latin, wine, I trust? That's Latin, darling.
Man, Tombstone. Is that another one? Yeah. Oh, help me out.
Back-to-back tombstones, Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday. In vino veritas, in drunkenness, truth.
Oh, there
in
you go.
Drunkenness,
I knew it had
there
something
is
to do
truth.
With water, with
or
wine.
Or you could say in vino, which would be that means in drunkenness, but it also could mean in the wine you find truth. It's
red,
Latin's a dead language
because
it doesn't directly translate, but
2, 3, 4.
Oh, by the way, speaking of singing, hang on a sec. You're trying to do your best UB40. You remember when I had to sing Bieber because of Scott Frost in Nebraska a couple years ago?
Yep.
Cerber dusted that audio off the other
day.
Let's
go.
Yeah.
You can hear that on this week's Hand in the Dirt.
Yeah, that gets played back in its entirety on Wednesday's Wednesday? Episode of Hand in the Dirt.
That's fantastic. That's so good.
And ironically, that had to be sung by me poorly because of Scott Frost underachieving in what I believe was year two.
Yes, he's
and now we got his ass fired. So it all.
Sorry.
Yo, it's terrible, man. It really
it's so
is.
Bad.
Yeah, it's
that
awful.
That was your worst bet in the history. It's also your only bet in the history of us doing the show together.
Thank you. All right, Old Dominion plus 10.5 at
Old
Virginia.
Dirty.
That's a 2 o'clock kick on Saturday.
Yep. Next one. Let's go to Eugene. Give me BYU plus the 3.5.
BYU's an underdog in this game?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I believe that's the case.
I'm not sure I agree with that either. Okay, interesting. What time's that kick? 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. A lot of early games here, Roddy. I like it.
Yeah, I'm loading up on the early stuff.
BYU plus 3.5. It's yours.
How is BYU an underdog in this?
Well, here's the thing. Yep. The two wide receivers for BYU did not play against Baylor,
Nacua and
Romney. Those guys didn't play.
Yep.
So, you're kind of assuming that they will, maybe?
I'm not assuming anything. I don't know if they will or they won't.
But I'm with you, man. BYU is it's intriguing Saturday afternoon.
All right. You are going to advise me not to do this with good reason. You know what? I'm going to leave this until the end. The next one that I'm going to go with is give me Mississippi State minus 2.5 at LSU.
Oh, interesting. Just to clarify, the line has changed. It is now, hang on, it's changed in your favor. It is a flat two.
Fantastic.
So you want Mississippi State minus the two in Baton Rouge?
Yep.
Okay.
Now to my final. I thought about going USC minus 13.5 for this one. I actually feel really good about that. But I wanna feel something. You know, I wanna feel something again, Steven. So I turn my sights to Atlanta.
Oh no.
Give me Georgia Tech plus 16.5. Against Ole Miss.
Right.
Come on, Chip Collins.
No, what are we doing?
I'm a rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. We're gonna recover. Plus 16.5. Ole Miss has had a tough time scoring the football, man.
Hang on. There's no way what I'm seeing here is accurate.
What do you mean?
I'm seeing that this line opened at 7.5. That can't be right.
Yeah,
it's moved 9 points.
Wow. Give me Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Give it to me.
I feel like friends don't let friends. Okay.
Oh, you are completely. No, no. This is my school, and I'm going to show some faith, Stephen Hartzell. So you cannot tell me not to show faith in my own school.
You're saying this is the circle the wagons game right here.
No. I'm saying Ole Miss is trying to figure it out, man. They're trying to figure it out. And I don't think they're going to light up the scoreboard on the Jackets. The Jackets pretty good up front on defense and did decent against Clemson. Jeff Sims has looked pretty sharp in this season. They got some talent on the outside. I think Georgia Tech's going to be able to put up a couple touchdowns. It gets you to 14, all right? The question is, can Ole Miss get to 30? Maybe. Maybe they can. They couldn't against Troy. On the road in the hostile environment?
Speaking of Cover Troy, City, I like the Trojans on Saturday. They got to go to Boone.
I've got that on my board as 11.5.
Classic letdown spot. Classic.
Yeah. Also, Nevada going to Iowa. Nevada's getting 22.5 at Iowa.
Yeah, who are we kidding? Iowa's
Can
not
Iowa
getting
score
to 22. No, there's no chance. Are you kidding? Why is that not on your board? I'm
it
shocked.
It is, but I wanted Georgia Tech more.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, man. I really don't. There are some intriguing games here, man.
Put Iowa plus 22.5. I mean, Nevada plus 22.5. Let's live. We're going to rely on Iowa's offense.
Have you taken a look at the Miami A&M game?
I have, yep.
That line is wrong. Texas A&M is a 5.5-point favorite in that game.
Right.
Why?
Because I don't think anything that you've seen from Miami would make you think that they're going to blow Texas A&M out or even win that game. And coming off the App State game, I think it's probably the worst spot that Miami could be in.
That I agree with that last part, sure. It changes my perspective a little bit.
It's not the Miami offense from last year, man. Like, they scored 10 points in the first half against Southern Miss.
Yeah.
They sputtered out of the gate against Bethune-Cookman, and Bethune-Cookman was overwhelmed, so they ended up winning. But that's an offense that's still figuring a lot out. And I don't know if offensive line-wise they're going to be able to score.
Here's the thing, though, Roddy. I have two boys in my house. We watch a lot of Star Wars. Are you familiar with Admiral Akbar?
No.
From Return of the Jedi. It's a trap. It's a trap.
Wait, Miami's a trap game?
What if Miami, the first 8 quarters of the season, has been setting the trap for this one?
Oh, my God.
What if?
Oh, my God.
It's a trap. That's a terrible Admiral Akbar.
No, it's pretty good.
No,
Welcome
to the Rock.
You've been working on it, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been workshopping my Sean Connery. All right, so official selections, Roddy, I've got you for a 7-piece.
7-pack, yep.
FSU minus the 2 on a Friday because Roddy's got to have, quote, skin in the game. South Carolina plus 24.5 because he wants to be hurt by Georgia again. Old Dominion plus 10.5.
I've got Georgia and Georgia Tech on the board this week.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
This is going to be terrible.
Old Dirty plus 10.5 in Charlottesville. One does not simply stroll into Scott Stadium. You know all about that. BYU plus 3.5 at Oregon. Mississippi State minus 2 at LSU. Georgia Tech plus 16. By God.
And a half. Don't I get I get the hook?
No.
There was no hook.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to clear my throat in the microphone. The line is 16, sir.
Damn.
Man, I need that hook, man.
How many people are going to be at historic Bobby Dodd Stadium? Or is it historic Grant Field at Bobby Dodd Stadium?
Dodd Stadium at historic Grant Field.
I got it.
Grant Field's been the name forever.
Okay.
But the stadium is named for Bobby
Dodd. How brisk are ticket sales for that affair?
We should look and see if we can get a look at how many tickets are available.
I feel like College Probably Sports Now can buy their own section.
That's rude. Ole Miss is coming to town. People will show up. Ole Miss fans will show up.
Yeah. Hottie totty. I mean, they're never coming to Atlanta for the SEC championship game.
That's terrible.
Am I wrong? They're the only school from the West who has yet to participate.
Is that true?
That is true.
Mississippi State was there?
Yeah, Mississippi State has played, not in Atlanta, but they have played in an SEC. Yeah, I think they have, actually. Ole Miss is the only school from the West to have not played in the SEC championship game.
Damn. Didn't know that.
Now I've got to look this up on Mississippi State.
Yeah, you do. When did they play there? Because I can't remember Mississippi State.
1998.
Wow. Yeah, would not have gotten that. Would not have gotten that.
Jackie Sherrill era.
You can get tickets to Ole Miss at Georgia Tech for as low as $48.
Oh.
It's family weekend.
Interesting.
Now you're up in the nosebleeds of the north end zone for $48.
That's fine.
$264 on SeatGeek. I shouldn't have even mentioned who it was. They're not sponsoring this thing. Yeah, you could probably find them cheaper, honestly. Just wait till it goes.
Okay. All right. A little closer. Roddy, in addition to being in Ann Arbor on Saturday alongside massive fish fan Bob Wischusen, what else you got going on this week? You got the ACC Network show. You got XM. Tell the people. Yep.
That's it. We got ACC Network in play 3 o'clock on Wednesday. I'm doing all ACC that night, too. That's like a 10 o'clock show at night.
Do an outfit change in between or what?
Yeah, in play is a little bit more low key, so I'm probably wear a polo for that and then put on the shirt for the night show. And then, yeah, that's it. That's all we got.
Respect. There you go. You can also follow Roddy on Twitter. Phenomenal follow. A lot of good content dropping on Twitter at Roddy Jones 20.
You're being very sarcastic.
Hey, how was Paw Patrol Live?
10 out of 10 recommend.
Come
I would
on.
Recommend you going to 10. Yeah,
that's a joke,
Paw
right?
Paw Patrol Live. No. Your boys would love it. Love it.
It was that
the pups
good?
Pups and Ryder? Yeah, it was entertaining. And the our girls loved it. The pups come out and they save the day. Like, what do you want?
Okay.
Are you guys a?
We've kind of moved on from Paw Patrol. We're kind of on some of that different now. We're kind of on some of that new. But
what's the new? Because Paw Patrol is in its prime right now.
Is it? I don't know if that's true. Man. Was in Mayor Humdinger prime. There? Did he make an
of
appearance?
Of course, Mayor Humdinger. So was Mayor Goodway. Mayor Humdinger, Mayor Goodway, both in appearance, both made appearances. Yeah, man. This was a big deal.
Interesting. How packed was it?
It's 80% in the Fox.
The Fox is a big place.
Yeah, 80% full. And that was for the later show. Like, the earlier one was probably more full than that.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Way to be a rad dad, man. Good on you. Paw Patrol Live. You'll never catch me dead in one of those, but way to get it done.
That's not true, bro. That's not true.
I've taken my kids to Monster Jam. We go to the fair every year. I mean, we've gone to, like, they went to the Wake Forest VMI game to start the year. Like, that's the type of stuff we're doing. Wow. I have not yet been roped into the equivalent of like Disney on Ice.
You should. First off, it's live performances where if you're a fan of, you will enjoy. And then secondly, like if it's what your kids enjoy, you would do it. You would do it if they came up to you and were like, Dad, we want to see Power Rangers live.
I'd be like, guess what? It's Tuesday night. We got Buffalo at Eastern Michigan, son. That's what we're watching, okay? Childcare ain't cheap. Watch the game. We're rooting for the green team. That's how that goes.
That's fantastic. Did not watch a single minute of NFL football yesterday due to both Paw Patrol Live and the fact that the ACC had like 27 games that I had to watch over the weekend.
Well, guess what? The team that had a 97% chance of winning late in the fourth quarter found a way to lose. That's all you need to know.
Go figure.
And that team, Roddy Jones, was your team. Not our team, your team.
It is our team.
No, I quit that drug. I watched on Sunday.
So rude, man.
I watched a little bit. I wanted to see Mariota, man. I liked what I saw. Cordell Patterson. But yeah, it's hard to win a game when you got your hands firmly wrapped around your own throat. Special thanks to Mike Golic Jr. for joining us, for Serber, for Roddy. I'm Hartzell. We are back on Wednesday. We got Wayne Cook and Phil Steele stopping by. Thank you for listening to the show. Leave us a review. Just 5 stars. Write something clever. We'll read the review on the show. Okay? Leave us a review. It's not that hard. Thanks for listening.